Jai Radha Madhava Kunjari Hari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajakacharya Ashtotar Satyashishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Anathakota Vaishnavinda Ki I did that already. Yes. This guy His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakota Vaishnavinda Ki Iskand Pandya Chaitya Anjay Shri Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutara Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Bhavani Nirvishesha Sunivari Paschachi Desitari Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home. Today is text number 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Nispaditam performed Deva Kritcham, what was to be done on behalf of the demigods, Avashesham, the rest, Pratikshate, being awaited, Tavat, up to that time, Yuyam, all of you Pandavas, Avekshadvam, observe and wait, Avet, may, Yavat, as long as Iha, in this world, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. Nispaditam deva kritcham. Avashesham pratikshate. Tavad yuyam avekshadvam. Bhavet yavad ishvara. Nispaditam deva kritcham. Avashesham pratikshate. Tavadyuyam avekshadvam. Bhavet yavad ishvara. Nispaditam deva kritcham. Avashesham pratikshate. Tavadyuyam avekshadvam. Bhavet yavad ishvara. Thank you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord has already performed His duties to help the demigods, and He is awaiting the rest. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on earth. Purport. The Lord descends from His abode, Krishna Loka, the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, in order to help the demigods, administrators of this material world, when they are greatly vexed by the asuras, who are envious not only of the Lord, but also of His devotees. As referred to above, the conditioned living beings contact material association by their own choice, dictated by a strong desire to lord it over the resources of the material world and become imitation lords of all they survey. Everyone is trying to become an imitation god. There is keen competition amongst such imitation gods, and such competitors are generally known as asuras. When there are too many asuras in the world, then it becomes a hell for those who are devotees of the Lord. Due to the growth of the asuras, the mass of people who are generally devoted to the Lord by nature and by pure devotees of the Lord, including the demigods and higher planets, pray to the Lord for relief, and the Lord either descends personally from his abode or deputes some of his devotees to remodel the fallen condition of human society, or even animal society. Such disruptions take place not only in human society, but also among the animals, birds, and other living beings, including the demigods and the higher planets. Lord Sri Krishna descended personally to vanquish asuras like Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, and during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, almost all these asuras were killed by the Lord. Now he was awaiting the annihilation of his own dynasty called the Yaduvamsa, who appeared by his will in this world. He wanted to take them away before his own departure to his eternal abode. Narada, like Vidura, did not disclose the imminent annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, but indirectly gave a hint to the king and his brothers to wait till the incident happened and the Lord departed. Om Gyanatam Arandasya Paranjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. Really? Hare Krishna! This morning, I'm sitting here thinking about our dear godbrother, Madan Mohan Prabhu, because of the pandemic or whatever, hadn't seen him for a while. But he would always say to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, we're admonished to relish Srimad Bhagavatam right from the very beginning. And so, this morning, what I'd like to try to do with all of you here is to relish Srimad Bhagavatam in different ways, maybe a little different from how we do traditionally. Not really, I think pretty much in line with what we do traditionally, but maybe a little different. And it involves focusing on a couple of statements in Prabhupada's purports. Statements that we might think aren't that important given the overall theme, but I think that they do bring out ways and different ways in which we can relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the purport, Prabhupada makes what to me was a striking statement. He says that even his devotees, his abode, okay, he descends from his abode or deputes some of his devotees to remodel the fallen condition of human society. And he says, or even animal society. He said such disruptions take place not only in human society, but also amongst the animals, birds, and other living beings. So I started thinking, is there an example of how the asuras act and take control and seek power. And actually, as we read a couple of verses ago, how they actually make other weaker living entities their food. Is there an example of that in Srimad Bhagavatam? I wanted to try to find an example. And indeed, there is an example of that in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the history between Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and the Kaliya serpent. Actually, when I was reading over that pastime, how Kaliya and Garuda interacted, it reminded me of European history, actually. Because you find the same thing that goes on in human society, where alliances are made to make a certain block of countries stronger, and as soon as they get stronger, what do? Hastani hastanam. They make weaker countries their food. They go after them, they conquer them. And this goes on throughout history, one incident after another. And it's the same exact thing that happens in this Kaliya, pastime of Kaliya with Garuda. You know the pastime. And it comes up in Bhagavatam in a way that is relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we find that Sukadeva Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit the whole Kaliya Leela, and Krishna danced in the hood of Kaliya and drove Kaliya from the Yamuna. But in the course of that description, Maharaj Parikshit heard something which piqued his interest. He heard about this Kaliya and his beautiful homeland, which Prabhupada indicated is Fiji Islands. He heard about that, and he heard he left that place, and he heard that he had some enmity with Garuda, and so it piqued his curiosity. So in his own attempt to relish Srimad Bhagavatam, he wanted to hear more from Sukadeva Goswami about, well, how did Kaliya actually leave his beautiful homeland? Has anybody been to Fiji here? It is indeed a beautiful island, many beautiful islands, actually. And when we were driving around, myself and my wife, Madhumati, we were there a few years ago. And as we were driving around the island, the devotee pointed out a mountain toward the center of the main island, which is said to be where Kaliya is from, and describing how they found a multi-headed serpent up there, or at least there's some legend of a multi-headed serpent from that area. Very beautiful. So why did Kaliya leave that place if it was so beautiful? Well, it's described, you know, we know Garuda. Garuda is a bird, and he likes to eat snakes. So Garuda used to go to that place, and he would just indiscriminately eat snakes, eat the snake population there, to the point where some snakes were killed unnecessarily, Prabhupada describes in the Krishna book. Some snakes were killed unnecessarily. And so, because of that situation, the leader of the snakes went to Lord Brahma and asked him if he could do something to change the situation so that their population wouldn't be so decimated unnecessarily by Garuda coming there and eating. So Lord Brahma, he brokered a deal where the serpents would put a one of their kind under a tree, and Garuda could come there and take that snake as a sacrificial offering to him and leave the rest of the snakes alone. They recognize Garuda's power. He's the stronger, so the stronger has the right to eat the weaker. So that arrangement was made with Lord Brahma. Also not to waste life unnecessarily, so that the arrangement protected the snakes. And so things were okay for some period of time, but then, as often happens in history, we find, and this is animal history now. We're talking about animal history, not human history. So what happens in the course of time, things may go, but then when one snake, Kaliya, got particularly powerful, Prabhupada said he was puffed up by the volume of his created poison. He became puffed up. He started thinking, I'm stronger, why should I let a weaker character, a weaker entity like Garuda come and eat us? And so he decided to stop the sacrifice arranged by Lord Brahma and take over himself. So he took over leadership of the snakes. And when he did that, he did, and I want to read the Sanskrit because it's so striking, that verse, just a few verses we read ago. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Those who are devoid of hands are praying for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are praying for those for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. So Prabhupada, in his purport, this verse, makes the point of this weak being the subsistence for the strong as a very important law of material nature. So Kaliya became very puffed up. He became strong with his accumulated poison. And you know what he did? The reason why I read that verse at this point in the talk is because what Kaliya did was he not only stopped the sacrifice, but he decided he was going to eat the sacrifice himself. Yeah, and so he started eating his own person, his own kind. He was so puffed up. This idea of the weak being subsistence for the strong gets out of control. And again, if you've studied not only European history, any history from around the world, you'll find the same thing. Someone rises up. They become a strong man. And what do? They put their own citizens at risk in various ways. The weak are subsistence for the strong. And so this is what Kaliya was doing. Now when Garuda got word of this, he was very upset. He was very upset. Not only was this, the arrangement brokered by Lord Brahma broken, but you had some open defiance going on with this Kaliya. So he went there and he fought Kaliya and he defeated him. Kaliya couldn't stand the smashing of his golden wings as Garuda beat him. And what he did was he fled his beautiful homeland. So this was the first thing that Maharaj Pariksit was asking about. Why did he leave his beautiful homeland? Well, he was forced out because of his own sinful power-grabbing activities. He lost to someone who was stronger than him. He entered the cycle of the weak being subsistence for the strong, and he himself became a victim of that, and he had to flee his beautiful homeland. Now, the story goes on, and so do the parallels with history, because Kaliya knew something that no one else knew. He knew where he could go for shelter, but no one else knew it. So he went to the lake at the bottom of the Jamuna. I have the name of that lake here. The lake was known as Kaliya Vada. Kaliya Vada. And so he went there. But why did he go there? Why did he go there? I'm going to tell. Yeah, I'm going to tell. Otherwise the time will run out and I won't have anything to say. So he went to this Kaliya Vada because there was something that had happened previously to Garuda. Garuda was the stronger foe that drove him from his homeland. But Garuda was also in an awkward situation in regard to this particular place. But you see, not only did Garuda eat snakes, but he also ate fish. And so he used to go to this place and he would eat fish there. And of course, anytime some strong power from outside comes and tries to take away your rights or crush you in different ways, make life difficult for you, then naturally you seek some ally for protection. And so the fish were concerned that they're all being eaten up by Garuda, and they sought an ally, and they found one. They found one, and that was Sogari Muni. He was meditating under the water there, such a powerful Muni. He could meditate underwater for as long as he wanted. And he was inclined to the fish. He was their well-wisher. And so Garuda used to come there and eat the fish. But Sogari Muni, he brokered his own deal that by asking Garuda not to come and eat the fish there. But of course, Garuda is the carrier of Lord Vishnu. He can do whatever he wants, so he wasn't necessarily have to follow what the yogi said, but he agreed, okay. But as he was going, he took out the leader of the fish. There was one big fish, he was the leader. And just like in politics, you take out a strong adversary. So Garuda took out the big fish and he flew off and he ate the fish. And Sogari Muni was a little upset by this, because he was inclined to the fish and their leader had been taken. So that was the story about why Kaliya left his homeland, why he went to the Jamuna, and why he had this inimical relationship with Garuda, the great Vaishnava. And so Maharaj Parikshit, he was relishing Srimad Bhagavatam because he wanted to hear this story. He had gotten some hint of it in the talk given by Sukadeva Goswami, and so he inquired more. And we find this is a way that's many instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where the nectar is churned, where you can relish the pastimes in different ways. There's always more there that can be achieved. And of course, we know this is all related to Krishna dancing on the heads of Kaliya. And also it exists in the gopis having a chance to observe Krishna during the Kaliya Leela. So that's one way in which we can relish Srimad Bhagavatam, based on the purport here. And there's another indication in the purport that gives us another chance to relish Srimad Bhagavatam in a different way. And that is, if you go to the purport, the words where he describes at the end of the purport, he wanted to take them away before his own departure to his eternal abode. So Prabhupada is talking in the purport about Krishna and how he was orchestrating the departure from this world of himself and his devotees after having accomplished his mission of aiding the demigods. Translation says, his duty to help the demigods. The Lord had already performed his duty to help the demigods, and he is awaiting the rest. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on earth. So you can imagine the great drama that's happening. Not only was there drama in the Bhagavatam when the Lord appeared, but there's drama when the Lord is disappearing. And so just like in any play or drama you may see, much happens, particularly as characters leave the stage for the last time. It's not just that everyone just gets up and walks off the stage, but very dramatically often someone will stand up and will speak something and then they'll exit. And what they spoke leads to the next person standing up and that person leaving the stage, building up for when the main character makes the final point or emotional impact of the drama and leaves the stage. And the audience goes wild with thunderous applause because of the dramatic performance. Well, actually, Rupa Goswami has used the Natya Shastra to give us a glimpse into the pastimes of the Lord. And that's what's going on here, as the Lord is directing himself first. This group of devotees leave, then at a different time, the Yadavamsa, they leave, and then after that, he's instructing that the Pandavas can leave at that point after he makes his own departure. These are all part of the components of rasa that Rupa Goswami uses. Actually, the Goswamis, it's described in Srinivasacharya's Sad Goswami Astaka. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nitano Sad Dharma Sanstapako. Nana Shastra. The Goswamis knew all the Shastras expertly. Like this Natya Shastra, this drama of Bharata Muni, drama. This was also known. So many Shastras, unlimited Shastras, Nana Shastra Vicharanayaka Nibbana, Sad Dharma Samstapako. So they knew all these Shastras, and Rupa Goswami uses that to give us a glimpse into rasa. And you may know that there are different components of rasa. This Vaibhava, Vibhava, is a catalyst. It means that when emotion is active, emotion is activated by when emotion is activated, it's termed Vaibhava. And those appearances and disappearances bring forth different emotions. And so the settings are very carefully arranged by the Supreme Lord to draw out the most emotion from us. And so we see this happening here with the Lord deciding how the order of departing the stage, just as how coming onto the stage creates a certain emotion and setting that the audience perceives, that Rasika Bhaktas perceive. So departure, vibhava, is also vibhava, an element of rasa. And so we see it being utilized here by the Supreme Lord by talking about the order of disappearance in this world, how it has, so it can have the most endearing emotional impact on all of us as we hear these pastimes. So in that way, Srimad Bhagavatam can also be relished by understanding how these different elements of rasa are found in the verses and purports of Srila Prabhupada. After all, he called the purports his ecstasies, so there must be some ecstasy there. We just have to find it out. And this is a little bit of this vibhava, the setting, how it's drawn out, using the departure of the various devotees after the Lord had completed his mission. So these are some thoughts on relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Does anybody have anything we can offer or add? Or yes, Srila?
I have a question and a comment. So maybe let me do the comment first and then the question. Garuda and all snakes, they're actually cousins. They're from Vinata and Kadu. You know, but there was some enmity between the two cousins. I don't remember the details on that really. But of course, you know, Garuda eats snakes also. So my question was, what Garuda is doing on the earth planet? You know, I mean, he's the carrier of the Lord, but he's residing on the earth or something. I used to wonder about this a long time ago. I don't know if you have any insight.
Well, I can't say. I don't know how to answer that question. Anybody can help you with that? Why is Garuda here?
What Garuda was, or what he was doing on the earth planet?
This planet is one part of this nine island. So, 5th canto, 16th chapter, Prabhupada writes that beside this planet, all other eight are called Bhoma Sarga. Means if some piety left when they descend from the heaven, then they live there. One island is Haribarsha where Prahlad Maharaj is there. Now, right now, Prahlad Maharaj is there, Nishimadev is there. Kim Purusha Barsha is there, Hanumanji is there. One also island is Garuda there. and there is a worshipping going on. Anybody is qualified from here, from this planet, they transcend there. They want to serve the Lord in Vaikuntha like that. So like this, there is a function, full-fledged going on.
Thank you. Anybody else? Steve Raymond.
Not to offend Garuda, but I heard Hidayananda Maharaj reading of the Mahabharata that there's some pastime where Garuda got himself in trouble for eating, not for eating human beings, though he was eating human beings, but for eating a Brahmin who was in this village of human beings that he ate.
Eating a Brahmin?
Yeah, so he might have some dietary proclivities that are outside the boundary of a standard Sunday feast.
Well, it's outside what I can comment on.
I heard the tape, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a Brahmin visiting his village. He got some, he was really hungry. I can't remember the details, but he was really, really hungry. He got the blessings to, you know, lunch. No, but the Brahmin was visiting somebody in his village of like tribals. He happened to be visiting, and so he got scooped up with the other pakoras. And then he got in trouble for that. This is from the Mahabharata. This is from the Mahabharata. He ate him all up. Oh, see?
Well, I think the young is right. We have to see the Pramana.
He swallowed it and Brahmana burned his stomach or something and he gorged it out.
Anything else anyone has questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Because I was researching many years back all the Prabhupada's quotes or whatever it was available 2003 database. I never saw Prabhupada say that Kaliya comes from Fiji. He said, they say. He always referred, they say, or they think. He never said Kaliya came from there. I was paying very close attention. Because Ramanak Island is on the below, Rasatala, and then Patala, in between there is a Ramanak Island there. All the snake lives there. The demonia. So Guru went there.
Yeah, well, there must be something in what Prabhupada said at some time in class or writing or whatever, because the devotees there. When he went to Fiji. Yeah, that's the point I'm going to make. That's exactly the point I'm making. Prabhupada is there and they installed the Krishna Kaliya deity.
Correct. But he didn't say that. This is what Kaliya, he said, they say. It's kind of like a not saying that. I'm trying to find the authenticity of really Kaliya. But I never saw Prabhupada say it directly like that. I'm not going to go there.
Well, there is some connection, so. Okay, anything else? Mm-hmm. Okay.